Hey, slashers and scream queens, and welcome back to the Horror Daddies podcast.
A podcast where we talk about horror movies.
And the daddies in them. Don't forget your line, Jonathan.
I'm trying not to. I'm fucking tired.
I saw that.
Just for a second. I stuttered.
I'm your horror daddy, Carlos.
And I'm your film daddy, John. And Carlos, what movie did we watch today?
Today we watched 2000's Scream 3, whose birthday was just yesterday, February 4th. So,
wow.
Happy 23rd birthday, Scream 3.
How do we do that?
I know, it happens a lot. And it's like on accident. We're like, oh, it's the anniversary this weekend.
It's so weird how that happens.
I know.
Well, I'm wearing my Stab shirt. I was in production. Let me see.
Wait. Oh, I forgot to put mine on. I'm wearing a green shirt.
It's, hey, you know, Stab.
Stab is green.
Stab colors. So, okay. Last week, I made comments about how I didn't really like this movie very much.
Uh-huh, do tell.
I think I enjoyed it a little bit more, but it still bothers me. I think the movie still bothers me a lot. I do think the reveal does not work for me.
Okay.
But, and the sense of humor is funny in some parts. I did learn to appreciate Jennifer way more.
Icon.
Because the first time I was like, ugh, she's kind of annoying. But then I loved her. I was like, oh, she's great, actually. I actually really enjoyed her here.
She's like my favorite character in this whole movie.
Yeah, she's so dramatic. Like, I love her.
She's me. Great. My lawyer liked that.
Not as much as I did. Also, Courtney Cox's hair, not that bad in this movie. No. Only in that one scene. Only in that one scene.
Oh my god, my niece caught. She was like, "What's wrong with her hair?" And I was like, "Listen, that's a whole meme in the horror community. The bangs. Like,
it looks terrible the first scene when she's with Dewey, but then after that, I feel like it kind of just. Or maybe I just get used to it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I think it's the shock, because like when she's in the press conference, it's just like whatever, her hair is up or whatever. But the minute she shows up in the studio with the fucking looking like ketchup and mustard, and it's just there. It's like
it's like straight up. Yeah, it's so weird.
It does look pretty bad in that scene. But then I don't know if you just get used to it or you're just like whatever about it. Her outfits are not that great in this movie.
No, man, she peaked in the first and second one.
Yeah, and then she goes back up after this. But yeah, I mean, watching it this time, I was having a blast. I was like, I see why I love this one more. The dramatics, the action, maybe it makes no sense to y'all. I don't know. It makes sense to me. I was here for it, and I see why I love this one as a kid, because this one is just so much. At the third act with At the House, it's so fun to me.
He goes straight to attacking
everybody. Mm-hmm. The when Sydney gets attacked at the fake Woodsboro, I love this movie. I see why I love this one as a kid so much.
Yeah, and those are the things that I really do appreciate. And honestly, like at the end, the delivery between, you know, the killer and Sydney, like are fucking it. That's a great scene. I fucking love it. Like, fuck you, fuck you. Like,
yes,
I loved it. I thought that was great. And just for me, it was just like, I don't know. I just think the backstory, like kind of remaking the first one, I don't like. I just don't like it. I feel like for me, it just doesn't work.
Oh, you see, I think that's why I liked it as a kid. Because I was like, oh my god, they're bringing back stuff from the first one. You know how I am.
and I get it. Like, it's like people do appreciate it. Like, I was looking at the reviews and people were like, they loved how they added more to the first one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though it's like, where were you in the second movie if you were really after her? Like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. It's just, I feel like the second one kind of like, oh, but like, why weren't you in those in there? Or were you, like, if you knew where she was, why didn't you go after her then? Why are you going after her now?
Or like, if he had a hand with the people in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that could have been, it just, I feel like, the evolution with Billy's mom made sense to me. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. She wants revenge because she didn't only lose her son. She also lost her husband.
Yeah.
So I get that. It makes sense. But mm-hmm. then with him, it's like, oh, all along, Sid had a
fine ass brother. Fine brother.
Okay, so who's kid? Is it like a random dad? It's not like, it's not Billy's dad, right?
So, maybe I'm just dumb, but isn't his dad the director, the other guy, Milton?
Well, that's the thing. They don't really confirm it.
Call him dad. He calls him by his name. If I understood correctly, or from what I've always understood watching, is that that was his father, and he just murders him.
Because it's... I really don't know.
Or it's just a random guy that was in Hollywood. I don't know. Because low-key, Wes Craven was throwing shade at the... what's these fuckers?
At the Harvey brothers?
No, what, the Weinsteins.
The Harvey Weinsteins? Yeah.
I have a feeling
They produced this movie.
Of course they did. But look what happened to them, and look what turned out. And this movie is kind of commentary on that.
Yeah, and I was literally watching. I'm like, huh. And even, what's her name? Angelina?
She slept with him to get us. Yeah.
So I was like, bro, this has like deeper layers than like.
Yeah, Wes Craven was throwing hella shade.
Dude, that's crazy. Because mm-hmm. this happened so long ago. So it's like,
yeah.
They were telling us the whole time.
They were telling us something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's crazy. I literally thought about that. I was like, yeah. Oh, man.
Well, and speaking of Angelina, she was supposed to be the other killer. Originally, which would have been really cool because it would have been like the brother and sister doing the murders, you know, how she's playing Sydney or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend was watching it. She had two guesses.
Okay, let's talk about that. My nieces and nephews were way off, but I enjoyed their guesses. Yeah.
She was way off too, and I was playing dumb. I was like, I haven't seen this in a long time.
Well, because like I knew that they weren't going to get this one because Roman plays dead at the end. Mm-hmm. And that was gonna throw them off, and Roman kind of disappears off, and I was like, this movie did surprise me, for like when you don't know, it does surprise because it's like, where did this motherfucker come from?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's my issue too. It's kind of like just Roman is not in this movie at all. Like he's in like four scenes.
And I think there were like you can kind of see that there was supposed to be two killers because a lot of it's like, how is you doing this by yourself, baby? Which would have made sense, Angelina helping him. But yeah, that's true. Was she helping him and pretending, and then he just happens to kill her, and we just never find that out?
Maybe.
We don't know.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I know you had told me that this had like a ton of script changes, right? Because affected it.
Columbine affected this movie, and originally Stu Mocker was alive, people, and was supposed to come back, and he was supposed to have this cult and Sid and then attack Sydney, and I wish I would have seen this movie, but... that didn't happen, and that's why all the blood gets cut out of this one. Mm. There were script changes happening every day, which they do make a joke about it later at Jennifer's house, and they throw shade at each other, I feel like, in this movie, as this movie was being made. So, like,
yeah,
I think that's what I also love about it. It's like, it knows it's a joke of itself, in a way, because they're also making Stab Fucking 3, which is supposed to be this movie, and that the killer's doing the killings and I'm sorry, I'm laughing because Jennifer's like, you know who's next? You are. And it's her.
So dramatic.
Yeah. But I think that's what I just love this movie because I feel like it's so self-aware but so funny that it's kind of making fun of just all itself and all around itself. It's not taking itself seriously.
Yeah, it's true. It's like you're watching Scream 3 while they're making Stab 3. Like it's really interesting, and they do it really well. Like at no point it took me out of the movie.
But so, back to the guesses. What were her guesses? Yeah.
So the first she at first thought it was the dad. She was like, oh, so the dad actually was the killer. Like she thought maybe like because it was when
Billy's dad?
Sydney's dad.
Sydney's dad. Oh, really?
Because. So at first, because of the picture, the first picture that they find of Maurice or whatever, of her mom. So she was like, oh, maybe he was the killer. Like he was involved in the first one, but he didn't actually was involved. But then it evolved to Kincaid.
Okay. I mean, that motherfucker, super suspicious.
The whole time, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
So, okay, because my niece said it was Kincaid and Angelina. So I was like, "Ha, yeah. I mean, Angelina, yes, she was supposed to be." My other nephew said just Angelina by herself, and he just okay. didn't want to guess another one. And then my other nephew was he said both Kincaid and his partner.
Okay.
So Kincaid got two votes in there.
Yeah, she was suspicious of Angelina, but she never was like, "Oh, she has to be it," until the bathroom scene.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that scene, caught. I was like, "You got caught red-handed." Like,
yeah, which would have been cool if she was in, because it's like, wow, you did get caught, and you still like kind of like and slid your way out of it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sid like let her go, which I was like, "Sid, you're smarter than that." Like, come on.
But spoiler alert! Like, and I told my nephew, spoiler: Sydney does end up marrying this guy, so not him. Yeah,
Does he show up in the fourth one? I don't remember.
We don't see him. Oh, okay. We don't see him ever again. But
no, that's they imply it. They mention him, right?
They mention him in the fifth one that she's married to some guy named Mark, and his name is Mark. So we're like, we put two and two together. The fans, you know, it's like, it's him.
It's like a theory, a little theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this movie was directed by Wes Craven, and it wasn't written by Kevin Williamson. It was actually written by Enron Kruger. So Kevin Williamson did have a draft for this movie. They kind of just said no to it, and then they hired this guy to write it, and they kind of disregarded Kevin's draft. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think Kevin's draft ended up being used for something else later on, similar to the draft they originally wrote for this movie ended up being used for something else later on.
Oh, okay.
From what I heard. And then... But this movie ended up, budget was $40 million, ended up grossing $161.8 million. So it still made money.
Yeah, even of though course. It's like, I mean,
yeah. The lowest grossing Scream is our next one, Scream 4. So
it was ahead of its time. It was ahead of its time.
I know. Anyways, that's for another conversation. And then, so did you notice that Sydney's wearing the necklace that Derek gave her in the second movie in this movie?
Oh, no, I didn't notice that. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
The necklace that's on her is the necklace he gave her, which is so cute. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
adorable. Jamie Lee Curtis was offered the role of Bianca, but she declined it. So Carrie Fisher is in that role.
Yeah, which is joke. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did love that Carrie Fisher was in it.
Yeah, and then Courtney and David were already married at this point, too, which is why they look tan, because they just got back from their honeymoon and the Bahamas.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, I was like, damn, they're really tan. like yeah. Especially Dewey, I was like, bro, you got laid. Like, yeah. You look like you just got laid.
They're very happy together. And then the house in the third act is the same house you can see in H2O. It's just they use it as a school in H2O.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so here we are. Scream oh, and Jesse, so we made a joke. I guess we can go through the cast. Jenny McCarthy, who plays Sarah Darling. It's funny how she's in Scream 3, but also in Scary Movie 3.
This fucking movie, bro.
Like, Tori Spelling is in Scary Movie 2, but she shows up in Scream 2. It's like, I'm telling you, Scream and Scary Movie are in the same exact universe. People just don't want to admit it.
No, and I love that they're like just nodding at each other. Like, it's like, we acknowledge you. I know you're there. So crazy.
But yeah, David Arquette as Dewey, Sydney, Neve Campbell as Sydney, Courtney Cox as Gil Weathers, Roger Jackson does the voice of Ghostface, Patrick Dempsey, Daddy, is Mark Kincaid, Liev Schreiber, another Daddy, is Cotton Weary, who has his own show, 100% Cotton, love the pun. Scott Foley is Roman, Daddy of them all. Heather Matarazzo is Martha, Randy's sister. Then we have Dion Richard as Tyson, Matt Kessler as Tom Prince, Emily Martimer as Angelina, Parker Posey as Jennifer, Patrick Warburton as Steven Stone, who is the voice of Joe Sonson and Krunk, if you guys watched Emperor's New Groove. I mean, his voice is so recognizable. It doesn't change.
It's so iconic. It's so iconic.
So did you ever think about like the fake actors in this movie, like their names?
Yeah, we were watching it and we were laughing because it's like Joe, what is it? Angelina fucking...
Yeah, that Angelina's a play on Angelina Jolie. And Jennifer is Jennifer Aniston. Tom Prince and Prince Freddie Jr. Yeah. Or Freddie Prince Jr. I was like, oh, fun.
Yeah, Tyson, which I'm assuming Mike Tyson?
Sure.
Right? I was like, okay, whatever. Yeah,
but Steven Stone, Sharon Stone, like,
Yeah, which is like, I get it. Like, it's supposed to play on the celebrities that we have. Yes,
on Hollywood. Uh-huh. Excuse me, y'all. My lay fell asleep. But... but this movie took place 3 years after the second one. Mm-hmm. And then we open with Cotton in traffic in LA, who gets a phone call from a mysterious woman, and she likes his sexy voice. And I was like, girl, me too. And
then he's like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love that. He's like, oh yeah, I got a whole ass girlfriend at home, but I'll flirt with you. Whatever. It don't matter.
It's like the douchebag celebrity. Like,
yeah, like, exactly.
A fan called me. Ooh, sexy.
Oh yeah, and she likes my voice, and it's like, I do too, baby. But then it turns out to be Ghostface. He's stalking his girlfriend, and he rushes home. And I don't know if you caught every joke, because I was really paying attention because she gets attacked at home before he gets there. But then he gets home, and his show is on the TV, and his show. The next segment on his show is about road rage and how drivers have road rage in LA. And I'm like, motherfucker, you literally just ran through traffic hitting people and you're causing accidents.
Screaming.
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't catch that. That's actually pretty great.
It's like, I know. It's like, I love that. And did you know that he took off his jacket, you know, with the sweater because he was working out, so he wanted to show some muscle?
Oh, I was like, ooh, okay.
That's like Lee Trevor listen. You were Sabretooth.
I wonder if he was doing... Yeah, Sabretooth. Like, I wonder if he was actually doing that.
X-Men came out the same year or 2001?
I think it was the same year. Let's see. Let's see.
Because he X-Men. Was in the first X-Men, right? He shows up in the first one?
I don't think he was Sabretooth in the first one. I think he was in the second one.
Oh, then yeah, this was after then. But, I mean, he was already working out, so...
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, what the fuck? Oh, he's going to be in the new Spider-Man. He's in the new Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. What the fuck? Who does he play?
He probably plays Cotton Weary.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Whoa, how did you guess this? No, he plays Wilson. The bad guy. The big guy. The main bad guy. He looks like a ball.
Oh!
That's him. What the fuck? That's so random.
Oh, like in the first one. Oh, the first Spider-Man.
The first one, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So, apparently, I guess he's not in the X-Men movie until X-Men Origins.
So, he's not the original?
No, I know he's not in the first one.
I thought he was the original Sabretooth. Well, I mean, I know he was Sabretooth in, you know, the Wolverine one, but I thought it was because he was Sabretooth in the original ones.
Damn, it's been so long since I've seen those movies, so it's
Well, if that's the case, my childhood has all been a lie. And yeah, we're gonna move on.
Dude, that's crazy if that's true. Holy fuck. Oh, yeah, it's another guy, Tyler Mane.
Oh, Michael Myers.
That is Michael Myers, right?
Yeah, from Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm. So that's in the first one. And I guess he was only Sabretooth from Origins and on.
Oops. Well...
It feels weird because I always recognize.
Just cut this out.
No, we're leaving that shit in. That like blew my mind, bro. What the fuck?
That's crazy. I think last week I even said he was Sabretooth. Well, I didn't say in what timeline. Well,
that's true. We said he was Sabretooth, which is not. It's true. He does play Sabretooth.
I just always thought he was the original Sabretooth.
Dude, that's so crazy. That blew my mind.
He's still fine. Anyways,
he's great.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, he gets attacked.
Yeah, and this Ghostface has a voice changer that uses their voices, which I like. I don't care what anyone says. Randy...
It's cool as fuck.
Right, and then Randy does say later that there's, like, supernatural stuff, and I'm like, yeah, the voice changer's kind of playing on that in a way.
Yeah. But it's a great gimmick as well, because it keeps you guessing.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you just like don't
in
know.
Every scene, and but anyone the in the phone.
The first, the second phone call, Roman snitches on himself. And it's so good.
Well, it's like if you don't know, because it's like that phone call wasn't a voice changer. Roman just literally switched to his Ghostface one.
And just Ghostface, because he's the, anyways.
So it's pretty great.
He gets murdered. And in this scene that when there was originally two, I think in the scene in the roof atop, you know how there's a glass roof? I believe there was supposed to see another Ghostface up there. So yeah, we cut to Sydney, who has a golden retriever, and she has an alarm system at her gate. She has a separate alarm system at her door, which I'm like, Sydney, girl, he don't gotta open the gate, he can just jump over it, but at least you got the door one for security. The gate one, I'm like, you wasting a little bit of money there, but I guess it's to be more prepared in case the dumbass does open the gate. So
I get it. But it's like a metaphor of like she's living in fear. Like she is living in a secluded area, in covered in security. So it's like she's definitely living in fear. She's living under a different name, right?
So yeah, she has a job at home where like for women's counseling, but she goes by the name of Laura instead of Sydney to just hide her identity. Because Ghostface obviously is looking for her, but she just happened. I guess she just changed her name after the events of the second one because she's like, this seems like it's not gonna stop, so I'm just gonna hide out and just change my name and whatever.
And she also is getting like from the second one all the prank calls and everything, so it's like, just start a new life pretty much.
And we're already making a third movie about her situation, which. What was the third one gonna be about? Going back to Woodsboro?
Well, that's the thing. They kept getting the schedules changed.
Well, changes. It's like the third one is basically about what's happening here. But I like the title going back to Woodsboro because the third one could be like about like what the fourth one is, how Sydney goes back to Woodsboro on a book tour.
It could be because I know after the fourth one, there's one that's like supernatural, right? Where it's like they go back in time or some shit like
that. Yeah, so by the time we get to the fourth one, there's already seven movies.
Jesus
and one
Christ.
Of them has time travel, which is by far the worst.
Yeah. Quote. That's going to be Scream 6. The next this one coming up is going to be about time travel. Watch.
Imagine. the fucking subway travels through time.
Dude, that's going to be insane.
But we cut to Gail Weathers at a press conference, who is then visited by Mark Kincaid. Because the killer left the picture on cotton of Maureen Prescott. So kind of like giving signs that he's after Sydney and that so he knows something about Maureen. And since Gail knows or did the murders on Maureen, he kind of hires her to be under his wing to help him out with this. So then we cut to the Stab 3 studio where we meet Roman and Milton. They're kind of complaining about what's happening. I do love this line here because Milton's like, hey, do you think this movie has something to do with it? Because Cotton was supposed to be the first murder in this movie, so he gets murdered first. And the cop goes, he was stabbed. The movie's called Stab. And that line always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
And this is when we meet the crew, right? The movie Stab.
Yeah, so we meet Tom Prince, Jennifer Jolie, Angelina, Tyson. And they're all talking about what do you think is going to happen. And then they make a joke about Tori Spelling left the set because she didn't want to play Sydney anymore. And then Gail shows up with a camera. She kind of bumps into Dewey. They're kind of talking,
reconnecting.
Reconnecting, thank you. And then fucking Parker Posey shows up in this green outfit that Gail used in the first movie. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm playing you.
She kind of looks like fucking like a president, like she about to run for presidency.
Yeah. And then she finds out that Tom Prince is playing Dewey. And Gail's like, oh, he's playing you? And I'm like, girl, you don't see it? Like the mustache.
He's dressed as a cop with the mustache and the slick back hair. Like, how do you not get that, girl?
It's so funny. But escorted out because they don't want her there because obviously she's with press. They know she's with press usually. Mm. And then we get a Jay and Silent Bob cameo here, and also Wes Craven. He's in the crowd of the tourist.
Oh, really? Oh, I
yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all.
I was trying to see if I noticed, but yeah, the Jay and Silent Bob. I've never seen the movie, so like
me neither. It doesn't connect with me, but I know they were on that set because they were making a movie at the time too.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken, they were also working on a movie.
I'm sure it's probably their movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I think they made two movies, if I'm not mistaken. So it's
I think so. I don't know. Yeah. My sister's ex liked them, and I just don't.
I never understood it. So yeah, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back came in 2001.
Okay, so I think that's what they were working on already. That's why they're in there. Their people already knew them.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, that's cool for the fans. You know, I know they're like icons.
It should have been Brenda. It should have been Cindy. That would have been the funniest thing in the fucking world.
Hell yeah, that would be fucking awesome. Man, I'm surprised he never did that shit. That's such a good...
Like, it would have been a really funny line if Brenda's like, Cindy, this sounds like something we've been through.
Oh, like, man, she looked familiar or some bullshit like that. That was so great. We were watching the superhero movie. Did you ever watch that? The Drake Bell one?
Yeah.
It caught me, but I never understood. But like when I was younger, but like Brenda's in that fucking movie.
Yeah, she's Xavier's wife. Yeah.
It cracked me the fuck up. I was like, I love that she's here. That's awesome.
Yeah. All these people are all in all of these like stupid parody movies.
Like parody
they
movies?
They kind of connect, yeah. But then we cut to Sydney. She's talking to her father because she found out about Cotton. And then he kind of wants her, like, you should just come back to Woodsboro and, you know, not be here by yourself because you're in more danger if you're alone. And then we cut to her taking a nap, and she has a nightmare of her mom and then a ghost face jump scare. Which the nightmare about her mom is, like, I guess it's showing us she has PTSD. But it's like, Sydney, girl, your mama look like a hot ass mess. She needs to go back to where she at because she can't be walking up on you like that, talking about coming from the woods. I'm out, Sydney, come back.
Also, like, girl, why? Like, she looked like a deadeye. She looked like in Evil Dead 2 when this girl wakes up. And then she's all crazy looking. Like, it's like she looks straight up like that.
I should have just shown up.
I do like that she is having PTSD about it. The only thing is, like, it's weird that it's coming now. Like, we never see that she has PTSD before.
With her mom until now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, in the first one, I understand because it's, like, it just happened. But, like,
before but in the second that, one, she's like, not even, she's, like, not even, in the second one, she's not even worried about anything. Kind of just happened.
No.
I guess after two events, there, she's more on edge. That's like, oh, damn, people are still going to keep coming for me. Because the end of this one, after she feels like it's done, because it's like her, the mastermind was her brother the whole time, whatever. We cut to Sarah Darling, who comes to the studio to see Roman, but she gets jump scared by Tyson. They leave, and then she gets a phone call from Roman to go over the script with her. This is where they make the joke. It's like another script again. Mm-hmm. Which is so what's happening in this movie.
How the fuck
are
we supposed to learn our lines if we're gonna have 30 schedule changes or whatever?
Exactly. And then it turns out to be Ghostface. So we get this really cool sequence where she's hiding and like there's a whole bunch of Ghostfaces costumes, and I really do like this. It's like, who's the real one? And then
I will say this is a really effective like scene. Mm-hmm. Like the tension's there, and like how every costume looks like there could be someone in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also like to think that this was kind of a little nod of like the cult, like a cult.
Oh, okay, I can see that.
Like gimmick, because there's so many. Like, why the fuck does it? They had so the costumes.
They had the costumes.
Yeah,
they couldn't use them, like, but they had them.
Like, it never made sense to me that there's so many for just one movie. Like, I did like it, and I think this scene was so effective, and that you see him in the back, like just looking so fucking cool.
But she ends up getting murdered. So there goes Candy, or her character name was Candy. There goes Sarah Darling. Who I was trying to think, Sarah Darling, who is she a play on?
Sarah Darling. Sarah. I don't know about Darling, but Sarah.
I can't think of a famous Sarah for some reason.
Let's go Letterboxd. Let's go search cast. Sarah. It was S-A-R-A-H, right?
Yeah. Like, what? I feel like I'm going to get comments like, you really couldn't think of this Sarah?
Like, Sarah Paulson? It's the lady from...
An American Horror Story.
Yeah, maybe her. Yeah. Let's see. Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Oh, duh.
I mean, that's a good one.
That's probably it. Yeah.
And she was in the second one, so she was
blonde, short hair.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I feel fucking stupid.
Supposed to play?
She plays Cece in the second one.
Oh, Cece, yes. Wait, that's her, right?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's Sarah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
why
I think it's. It's just this is what I get for just always calling her Buffy.
Yeah, I honestly forgot too. I always
that's my fault.
Know her as Buffy.
Yeah, or Daphne. Okay, so that would make sense. She's a play on Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah.
The Darling part. I wonder what's the. I wonder if Darling is just random, just to like fuck it.
Maybe, or there is a celebrity with Darling, but I don't ask me. I don't know. so. We have Gail and Dewey at lunch. She's letting Dewey know that the police has asked her to help because obviously she worked on the murders from the first one or whatever. Dewey lets her know that someone did call to get Sydney's file for the movie, but they wouldn't tell us who it is. So the boys kind of ignored it, as he said, but then someone broke Dewey into ended the... up deleting it. Yeah, so we ended up taking it because someone ended up breaking to the station to try to steal it. This is when we head to Jennifer's house, and this is where we find out that the killer is killing everyone in the order of the script. So we get this whole dramatic scene with Parker Posey that's so funny, and we find out that Gail's character is the next in line to die.
It's like, you're the next one.
Well, it's like, I can handle the fans, but I can handle this. And I forgot what she says, but it's just so funny the way she does it. And then she jumps on Steven Stone's character. It's like... So dramatic.
I love it. She's like, like she's protected by this big old man.
Yeah. We find out that Dewey's living on her property in a trailer, which is really funny.
Yeah, it's like, she feels safe with me around because he's trying to get some. So are they dating? Are they supposed to be dating?
No, I just think that.
Right?
No.
I think she's kind of using him.
Well, I guess for protection because he's a cop. Dewey's a cop,
holding hands later.
Are they?
Yeah, like they're holding hands together. So I was like,
she just feels safe. She hired him for protecting, so I think she just feels very safe around Dewey.
Okay, because I was like, maybe she's using him because I don't think she's paying him. I think he just moved just to like because he felt wanted. That's what I got from it.
No, I think she is paying him.
Yeah,
because later she gets really mad at him when the explosion happens.
So yeah, never like there's no confirmation of like, oh, I'm paying you to protect me. She says you're living here because you're supposed to protect me.
Oh, maybe I don't know.
I was like, she's kind of using his ass. I was like, don't use my Dewey. That's my Dewey, bro.
So we find out that another picture of Maureen Prescott was left for Sarah's body. And that there are three versions of the script. So now it's anyone's game because we don't know what version of the script the killer read. Which, I mean, if we know who the killer is, of course he knows all those scripts.
Exactly.
So then Roman gets taken away as a suspect because he was the last to call Candy or what Sarah. And then Sydney gets a phone call and it's Ghostface. It's a woman pretending to be a victim that she murdered someone, but then it's just no, it's me, Sydney.
Because the voice goes from it's her mom's voice.
Yeah, it slowly switches to her mom's voice and she's kind of like weirded out about it, and then it's Ghostface. So you know, Sydney has a gun already. She's pretty prepared.
She prepared.
And then we cut to Jennifer's house where everyone's there and they're all just having a rap party, how they call it. Dewey shows up. He's talking to Jennifer. Then fucking Courtney Cox shows up and she's spying, eavesdropping on Dewey and Jennifer. And then she gets caught by Stone. So she gets brought inside. This is when I'm thinking of Joe Swanson because of fucking this motherfucker. and then... they figure out that Maureen Prescott was also at the studio because Jennifer showed Dewey a picture of her in this the same background from the studio. So this is how they figure out that Maureen was also at the Sunrise studio. Stone gets murdered. They see, they come back out. No one's around and everyone walks in. They see Stone dead. Then they start getting a script as the movie's happening. This is what I like, really like this scene, because I like that since it's playing on the script of the movie, Ghostface is sending them a script of what he's going to do now. And
yeah, I think that's really cool. That's pretty creative.
It was probably one of my favorite scenes as a kid in this movie. And then eventually Tom goes inside because he wants to continue reading the script. Everyone ran outside and then the house blows up because he turns on a match and the gas was on.
Yeah, because he's trying to look at it because there's no power.
Yeah.
So he tries to look at the script and it blows up because it says the only one that I'll have mercy with is the one smelling the gas.
The one that smells the gas.
Yeah.
And then they all roll down the hill, running down that hill and...
this one always throws me off because it's always like randomly. It's like, why do I can't stop falling? And it's like, what? What the fuck did that? They just had to add that.
You know how she? I mean, she's dramatic. That's her. That's her.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But
he is dramatic.
Fuck it. Gail is almost killed by Ghostface because he goes to attack her. Dewey saves her. Motherfucker still falls down the hill more. And then Angelina's like, where the fuck were you? You were supposed to protect me. Not Angelina, Jennifer. You were supposed to protect me. And then she punches Dewey. Gail punches Jennifer, which is funny because Gail's the one that's always getting punched in other movie, the other two
so
movies.
So technically, Gail still gets punched.
In this movie, yeah. And, yeah. Then, and then she's like, my lawyer liked that. And she's like,
not
well,
as much as I did.
As I did.
So good.
Yeah.
But this is where Angelina starts being suspicious because then she falls really far away. Mm-hmm. And even Dewey's like, why are you all the way over there?
And but then she's like,
to the next scene.
Well, she ignores his question and she goes, what happened? Where were you? And it's like, ma'am, they just asked
you
a question.
Bitch.
Right. Yeah. She did. So then. At the police station, they start talking about how there's a third killer because there's always been a third killer. So someone has to know what happened from Woodsboro. So this is where Sydney shows up to the station. They're kind of having a conversation here. They're kind of like, hey, Dewey, who did you give your phone to? Because your phone was cloned. And he's like, well, Jennifer and you, Mark. So this kind of also, Mark is a red herring. Because he does take Dewey's phone earlier on. And it's kind of like, it's a little sus.
Suspicious. Because it's like, my phone died. Can I have yours?
And then it's like, how else would they have gotten Sydney's information? True. Because Dewey's the only one that had her number. So then they end up basically going to the studio because Sydney wants to see where her mother's pictures were taken. And then we get Martha, Randy's sister, that shows up out of nowhere already at the studio. Like, how did she know Sydney was going to be there and stuff?
It is very random.
It's super random.
Did they introduce her in the last one?
No, this is her first.
No, she was introduced here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, they just randomly was like, here.
Like, yeah, pretty.
She's there,
pretty much, and it's like, how did you know any of them three were gonna be here? But it's pretty much she has a VHS of Randy's legacy, who he gives us the rules of the third of a trilogy, which are, you gotta chronologically freeze his head, decapitate him, or blow him up. Rule number two is anyone including the main characters can die. That means you, Sydney. And the past will come back to bite you in the ass. Whatever you think you know about the past, forget it. So it's pretty much saying that.
They do play on those rules, and I do appreciate how they do them.
Yes,
because obviously, the one prominent is the third one. The past came back to bite her. Obviously, Roman isn't supernatural, but they do play on that.
With the voice changer, having everyone's voices, and having a fucking bulletproof vest, yeah. So it's like...
And that's like, that's cool.
That's how he kept getting up and walking away. And it's like, people tend to like not acknowledge that, I feel like, when they're watching these movies. It's like, it's not that he's really supernatural. It's that they're playing on that, making you think he is. But in reality, he's just a normal dude with armor and a magic fucking voice changer that I don't know how he got his hands on it. I don't know how he made it work, but he made it work.
But again, it's movie magic. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. you don't have, not everything has to be 100% realistic. Like,
and that's
sure,
the thing with these movies.
Universe,
these movies, yeah. And that's the thing. In the universe of these movies are kind of, in a way, making fun of actual horror movies. So it's like,
yeah,
why are y'all mad?
Yeah, even later when we find like the horror movies, they're like play on, like they're just making fun. They're mm-hmm. either, they're literally making fun of the movie you're watching. Like it's
exactly.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You obviously can't take this movie 100% serious.
Yep. So then Gail basically goes to play Nancy Drew. She splits up from them, and then Jennifer joins her. They're gonna try to find out more information. They end up in this basement where they meet Carrie Fisher, which I do love the joke here. It's like, hey, aren't you that? No, but you look like no, no, I'm not her. She got the role by sleeping with George Lucas, and it's like, I mean, it is her, but she's like, yeah. That's not.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. It was mm-hmm. funny because Joy loves Star Wars, so she was
yeah,
like,
my nephews do too.
They're like, yeah. What? Is that really her? And I'm like, yeah. And then like when she's looking through the files, that's when she was like, oh my fucking God, that it really is her.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird. It's so surreal seeing her like that. It was so mm-hmm. cool.
So, and it was supposed to be Jamie Lee Curtis, but I guess she didn't want it, which it would have been cool if they're like, hey, aren't you that girl from Halloween?
Yeah, that would have been pretty yeah. great. Oh my God, look at behind me. Oh, she left.
Ash was there?
The cat is back there. Yeah. She was so creepy.
I think my cat is under the bed actually behind me, but it So then yeah, so they find out that Maureen went by Rena Reynolds, which I don't know if it's a play on Ryan Reynolds, but I'll go with it.
I think so, because even Joy was like, oh, that has to be Ryan Reynolds, there's no way. And maybe. I'm like, maybe.
But she worked on horror films done by John Milton, which mm-hmm. could be a play on John Carpenter.
Could be, which kind of made me like, damn, they could have done like something with Harvey Weinstein, because it's like, why Jack Carpenter didn't deserve that?
Like, no. This. But he also, if Wes Craven knew anything, he wasn't going to be very like, he couldn't.
Like on the nose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that
maybe this movie was a fucking warning of
yeah,
what was happening.
They were literally letting us know. Because mm-hmm. I remember, I have the DVD, and I was reading the back, and I was like, oh my God, it says fucking the Weinstein brothers. And I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah, those fuckers.
Oh
yeah.
Shit. Bro.
There's a movie that's about them on, I think it's on Peacock right now.
Like a documentary?
It's like these two reporters doing a report on them, I believe, but it's like a movie.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's so mm-hmm. fucked. It's so crazy. I'm glad yeah. you're in fucking jail.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, now that you said that they're a play on thing, I do think, what's his fucking name? Roman is a play on Quentin Tarantino.
I can see that with the glasses and everything.
Well, the glasses, the way he talks and everything, and also mm-hmm. because they're like, they're talking about how violence is like taking an influence in actual yeah. real life. And that's like a whole thing with Quentin Tarantino, because his movies are always so violent, and people are always like, oh, Quentin is adding to the violence in the world, like he must know. So I do think that he is a play on Quentin Tarantino.
Maybe.
And Quentin Tarantino also works closely with all his movies were produced by the Weinstein brothers, and okay, Milton and Roman are like that.
That's true.
So not saying anything about Quentin, he didn't do anything wrong. But
I heard
I've
actually heard he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's like great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, then we cut to Sydney, who she's in the bathroom. We kind of do the same thing that happened in the first one with the bathroom, but this time she catches who's in the bathroom with her, and it's Angelina. Dressed mm-hmm. almost as Ghostface, but she's just saying that she's taking it as souvenirs because she may never get another role again.
Bitch, you were wearing boots. You're right. Wearing boots,
right?
With the cloak, mask, yep. and the phone.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then, yeah, it's kind of crazy that she was supposed to be one and she fucking gets caught here. And then mm-hmm. Angelina leaves. She follows her, and Sydney ends up in this fake set of Woodsboro, and she comes out of Stu Mocker's house. It's the first house she comes out of. And across mm-hmm. the street is her house.
So
she ends up in her room. She's kind of having kind of reminiscence in the head. She hears Billy's voice in the back, and then she gets attacked by Ghostface. There's this whole chase scene here. And then she kind of gets away, but she ends up in her mother's room where she sees her mother dead on the floor. And then I don't know if someone was actually here, but the body ends up getting up and someone's under the sheets and she just falls out the window, which I don't know if she really saw that or if the ghost face was actually under there. Because then the cops don't see him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my thing is that we don't see the room anymore. So, like, it's like, was the body still there? Like, the doll mm-hmm. or whatever?
Right.
Because it's, we see it get up and we see it later, come back later in the movie. So, it's like, it yep. could possibly be that Ghostface was there. Because we also see him pop from places, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he true. Knows everything around him, which, obviously, it's Roman. He does. Mm-hmm. So, it's mm-hmm. like, it makes me think that maybe he was there. Like, he did see it, but it wasn't Roman. It was just he put everything back together while yeah, she I can see jumped
that.
Out.
I can see that. Yeah, because then the next scene we is Dewey, Gil, and Jen go up to Milton's office, and Roman is there complaining because his movie's getting canceled, obviously. this is Frankie's favorite line of the whole movie.
Yeah.
When they walk in, they're arguing with Milton. They're like, if you don't fess up, then we're gonna go to the news. And then fucking Jennifer goes, you're obsessed with her and you're obsessed with her daughter. And it's so good. Frankie loves that fucking those lines for some reason.
Yeah.
It's so good. But yeah, he basically fesses up that she went to Hollywood and that she might have gotten taken advantage of by some guys or whatever, which is where Roman was born from, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So it makes me think, that's why I still don't know if that's his father and he yeah. was the one to do it. It's very confusing. Or if we just don't know who his father is at all.
Because my thing is, like, if Milton was the father, then he didn't know. Mm-hmm. Because he even tells him later, like, hey, I'll get you any movie you want, whatever. Like, it's not like he's like, hey, son, like, don't yeah, kill me. I'm your fucking weird. Dad.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be just that she was taken advantage of and he was born out of, like, that whatever
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, that nasty room where they did all that stuff in where the final act takes place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another thing I want to mention, because now that we're already here, it's like, I feel like this movie, for me at least, moves really fast.
Because
I feel like we got to to Roman's birthday thing really quickly. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't think so. I believe for me, I thought it took a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of waiting for the mansion. I was like, I know this happens. It's like, this mansion somehow happened. Like, when is it coming? I felt like I was waiting for it, and it wasn't coming. So
okay.
For me, it took a little longer.
After this, we have Mark and Sydney at the police station, and she's asking him, like, oh, you like movies or whatever, and he's like, yeah, and then she ends up asking, what's your favorite scary movie, but he leaves, and he goes, my life, and he's being very suspicious in this whole scene, like, my nieces and nephew looked at me like, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not gonna say nothing, but then Dewey and Gail get a phone call from Sydney, saying that she's going to Roman's house, so they end up going that way. And it's not really her. We know it's not her. And then they get to the house, and then they kind of have... They're at the party, and then Roman and Jennifer split up. Angelina and Tyson go one way, and then Dewey and Gail are just in the living room. Roman and Jennifer end up at the basement. We don't know what happens just yet. And then Angelina and Tyson end up upstairs, but then Tyson and Jelena get split up after Dewey finds them, but then Dewey and Gail also find the voice changer here, and how he mm-hmm. has all of their voices. So it's like, we know this motherfucker's in the house. Mm-hmm.
So and this is such a good scene, too, because it's like, not even at this point they tell you who it is.
Yeah, and the fact that Angelina disappeared from Tyson and he didn't know where she went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do suspicious. Like that. I do think that maybe they were trying to point the direction to Milton. That Milton was, because this is Milton's mansion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think it's like, oh, this is Milton. He has this costume in this weird closet. So it's like,
and then the fact that everyone starts to die, because even Roman is shown dead, and it's like, it's like, oh shit! It's either Milton or Kincaid, because Kincaid also left the police station for some fucking reason and left Sydney there.
Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm. So then. Yeah, so then everyone pretty much starts getting attacked. fucking Gail finds Roman dead with Jennifer. Jennifer and Gail run off. Then Dewey and Tyson start, they all start fighting Ghostface in the bedroom. Angelina's still gone. And then Tyson tries to get away. Angelina also tries to run away at some point, but then she gets murdered. Which I thought it would have been really interesting if she still was Ghostface and she was supposed to be a reveal, but he just decides to murder her and not give her no credit at all. Which,
yeah, that'd be cool.
Honestly, I like to see that in my head.
It would have been interesting. It would have been interesting. I wish, because it's just so suspicious the entire movie. It's like they literally could have just had one line where she's like, oh, this stupid bitch ruined the she got caught. So she ruined the plan for me, so I had to get rid of her.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Roman could have like a little line like that.
Yeah. Sydney ends up getting a phone call. So she... Oh, no, what happens is that then Jennifer gets murdered in the mirrors, which is really cool because it's like a one-way, two-way mirror, and it's soundproof, which is cool. And then,
it kind of reminded me of Dewey's death in the second one.
Yes. And then Dewey, Gail ends up in the basement with Ghostface because she falls down there, and then Dewey tries to save her, and motherfucker almost gets stabbed in the head, but this time he just gets hit with a knife. That he got so lucky.
always Dewey.
Yeah,
always gets lucky. But I do find that funny, kind of funny, because it's so intense, and then he just throws the knife and just bonks in the head.
falls. It's really like, funny. But they get tied up, and then Ghostface calls Sydney. So Sydney ends up going to the house eventually. We just don't know how prepared she came. We know she grabbed one gun. He has a metal detector waiting for her outside. She tests
it. It's like, this motherfucker.
So she throws away the gun in the pool. She goes inside. She tries to help him. She gets attacked. She shoots him down. He's gone again.
She had two guns on that leg, bitch. You thought she had one.
Nah, she had two. That, you know, that leg was heavy. It was fire. So then Kincaid shows up after Ghostface disappeared, like, immediately. It's like, motherfucker, where were you?
So where suspicious. Where you come from? And he's like, I saw Tyson dead outside, and some shots were fired. What are you doing here?
And but it's like, why were you following? Who were you? Right. So then Ghostface does appear and attacks him. He gets down. Sydney makes a run for it. Ghostface follows. This whole thing. Eventually, they end up in this projector room where she is shown how she was having an affair with Cotton and Billy's father. And then he reveals that I'm your brother, and it's Roman Bridger, director.
Whoa.
And brother.
So mind blown.
Yeah.
I felt like it was just like, I was like, he did disappear, but like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he was dead. He did prosthetics on himself.
I get it. Like, I understand that he is born out of her. And like, I love that like all the killers have a connection to the mom. It's not even Sydney, it's the mom.
Yeah, so it's like, damn, your mom fucked your whole shit up. Yeah. I will say when he took off that mask and I was like, ooh, damn, Scott Foley looked fine in this mask. He looked so fine as a psycho. I have an issue.
Well, we'll say Joy was like, oh, Roman's kind of cute. Like when they first introduced him, and she's like, he's kind of cute. And I was
Scott
like, oh,
Foley
okay.
is so fine. but yeah, him as Ghostface, I was here for it. In that costume, I was here for that. So they end up having a big brother and sister fight because they're like, he ends up killing Milton at this point because it was pretty much his fault as well. And then she's basically saying, stop being a mama's boy, take some fucking responsibility. And he doesn't want to hear it either. So then they do this whole fuck you. They start fighting.
And it's a great scene. This,
yeah,
I cannot.
I love their fight. And then Gail and Dewey are trying to get to Sydney. Kincaid finds his way into the room, but then he gets knocked down again.
Of course.
And then he ends up shooting Sydney. So we're like, oh, damn, she did.
Like, oh, shit. Like, three times, too.
Yeah. But then she disappears. And then he's like, oh, shit. So he's looking for her.
Michael Myers.
Then she calls him. And then she stabs him in the back with an ice picker. And then she gets him. And then Dewey and Gail show up. And then they hold hands as he's dying and it's very sad. And then he gets up again and Dewey's shooting at him and he's like, you can't fucking kill me. I love this because it's so dramatic. Yeah. And I was like, ooh. And he's kills coming.
I love that. It's like Dewey's like, be careful. Randy said they're supernatural. So it's like it comes back. And then this scene is like playing off that supernatural aspect.
Yeah. And he's shooting him and he's like getting shot back, but he's still walking towards them. And he's like, you can't fucking kill me. And then Sidney's screaming, the head, Dewey, the head. And then he gets shot in the head and he dead.
He dead. That's it. No more Roman.
And then fucking we cut to Sidney living happy. Gail and Dewey get Dewey asks Dale proposes to Gail. Jesus. And then Sidney here, as you can see, like they kind of showing her is sunshine. She feels liberated. She leaves the gate open. She opens the gate. Mm-hmm. And then she even thinks about putting the alarm on, but she doesn't. She ends up just leaving the door open. The door opens and she kind of ignores it. And Kincaid is there too. They're all gonna watch a movie. They're probably gonna watch Stab 3, to be honest.
Dude, imagine after this traumatizing thing, they're like, "Let's watch Stab." Fuck it, Sidney.
Yeah, get Sidney's over like, it. Yeah, this is where I kill my brother. and then that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the end of the movie there.
That's it.
Yeah. I really do enjoy this movie a lot. To me, it's fairly fun. To me, it goes by pretty quick, and it's just dumb, fun action after one after another. And fucking Parker Posey also pretty much steals this movie for herself.
For sure.
And I know Roman's not like the most favorite at Ghostface, but he's also not the worst for me.
That's true.
And I try not to like. Because people's like, oh, he's the worst. He like, and it's like, where the fuck did he come from? It's like, yes, I understand that he comes out of nowhere. But it's like, this movie got affected by something that happened in real life. So they had to come up with something. And honestly, it's not the worst thing in the world. Yeah, she had a brother that she didn't know about. He was the one that fucking molded the two teenage boys to start the first murder. So he didn't have to get away. So he didn't have to get caught. But like I said, it's not the worst thing, but I still enjoy Scream 3. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I do feel like I get that it got affected. So it's like, if it didn't, I would like to see, because I do think he's not a bad character. Obviously, he's not. Mm-hmm. It's just that I felt like he just was thrown in the script for no reason. Like, he's just like, let's just say he was involved in the first one, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but I feel like it could have been, oh, he was in this one, how did he get involved in the second one?
But it makes you think, if they would have went with the Stu Mocker thing, like, would people be mad at that? Because like now now people are saying, like, why would Stu be alive? And it's like, well, he was going to be alive for this one. So, like,
well, and then it also plays like the Randy thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been cool because it's like, oh, he's supernatural because he survived the first one.
Right.
Or, like, that could have been a little bit more interesting, I would say. Like, yes, like we've said before, we want to see Stu alive, obviously.
Some of us do, some of us don't.
Well, no, between us two, at least. Us two. Like, we do.
I just want to see Matthew Lillard in a horror movie.
Yeah. And
Scream's the only thing I get. Well, he's going to be at the new Friday Nights at Freddy's movie. He got a 3-movie deal for them.
That's true.
With Blumhouse. But anyways, I just, if they were originally going to go with Stu, why are y'all mad if they were to go with Stu now? Like,
I don't think a lot of people know that.
If Scream 7 is a playoff on Scream 3 and how this movie was pretty, from most fans consider it the worst one, what if Scream 7 plays on that? Like, this is going to be the worst one and we're going to go fucking bonkers off the walls crazy. I'll be here for it.
Possibly could. Mm-hmm. It could.
Because that's what I enjoy most about these movies, that they play on those tropes and on these crazy ass movie tropes that horror movies have every once in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, Scream 3.
Yeah. That's it. Scream 3. And so,
soundboard.
Did you get any reviews?
Yeah, I wrote them down this time because I was like, oops, right. I'm using my phone for my face.
So, pretty much like we do in every movie, we like to go and read some reviews. So, do you want to read yours?
Yeah, so my 5-star review says, Jennifer Jolie, your legacy will live on. 5 stars.
Yeah, hell yeah, brother. I want to see her come back in the 7th.
And then my 1-star is, the only villain here is Gail's bangs. 1-star.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't talk about the bangs the whole episode. I saved it.
That's true.
I know it gets annoying after hearing everyone just spent. That's the first thing they mention when they mention this movie is her bangs.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah. Actually, no, we did talk about her bangs in earlier.
Well, you know, briefly though.
Yeah.
We could have made more jokes. All right, so my 1-star review is, what's your scary movie? My life. So edgy, Grey's Anatomy's dude. Kid Kate is so fucking annoying. He's so like edgy and then useless as a cop.
Oh, but so fine too. Like, real me, daddy. Yeah, okay.
He is, yeah. Joy was thirsting. She's like, oh, that's a motherfucker from Enchanted.
Yeah.
And then my 5-star is Dewey's best horror boy. Wait, did I read that? Yeah, Dewey best horror boy.
Okay.
Because I love Dewey. I'm sorry.
No, I know. It sounds like a 3-year-old wrote that review.
Let me see. Oh, it's a Jenna Ortega picture, so possibly. I mean, I just love Dewey, and every time there's any link, it's like a little bit of danger around him, I'm like, don't fucking touch him. Like,
I know.
Like, don't do it.
I know.
Even though,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Daddy of the movie.
Mine's gonna be Dewey. I don't care. It's gonna be Dewey.
I know.
For me.
I'm picking Roman. I don't give a fuck. I like Roman. Whatever. It is what it is.
I get it. Over Scott Kincaid. Foley.
Or King. No, Roman. Scott Foley can be my Ghostface daddy. I don't give a shit.
Ooh. Okay. Roman or Mikey? Or Mickey. Wait, Mikey. Mikey.
Mickey. It's Mickey. From part 2.
Is it Mickey? Yeah, part 2.
Yeah, it's Mickey.
Okay, so Mickey.
Now,
oh fuck, Mary Kill, Billy. Oh no, oh, okay. Stu, Mickey, or Roman.
So I'm not gonna go by a Ghostface appearances. So I'm just gonna go
a Ghostface, not actor.
Like
Ghostface.
Like, oh, okay. No, Ghostface, like how they are in the movie Ghostfaces.
Yes.
God damn it.
So fuck, Mary Kill.
I'm fucking Stu Marker. No, wait. Nope. I'm going to marry Stu Marker.
You're going to marry him?
I love Matthew Lillard.
That's
like,
true.
I want to meet that man so bad. And I hope if he ever sees this and he... I want to meet you, sir. Damn. They're all just
this
so
is a hard
fun.
Decision.
I know. Fuck. I'm gonna kill Mickey and I'm gonna fuck Roman. Sticking to it.
You're gonna kill Mickey?
Listen.
Wow, that blew my mind.
Roman in a Ghostface costume looks really hot. I cannot help it. So did Mickey. But something about Roman or Scott Foley in that Ghostface costume. Baby. He did things to me.
Oh, that's so funny.
Okay, how about you? So I'm gonna use the girls for you. Amber, Jill, Mrs. Loomis.
Well, obviously fuck Miss Loomis.
Okay.
No, I'd marry Miss Loomis because she looked like she got her life together until her son died.
Okay.
And then Amber and Jill.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Nah, Jill's fucking crazy. I can't with Jill. Jill's insane. She is psycho, bro. She reminds me of Pearl.
She's
gonna
have
to be fuck Amber and I guess kill Jill. Jill's like the
we are
craziest
gonna have an
one.
Argument. Okay.
But we'll talk about that about Jill in the future. Cause yeah. But
okay.
Bro, she's a star. She is a star.
Mm-hmm. Favorite
best
kill? Yeah. Romans.
Yeah, I think
it's the
so
most
too.
It's the most dramatic.
Yeah, there's a lot in stake. Like, there's emotion in there. Mm-hmm. The fact that they play with the supernatural rule as well.
Yeah.
And I just his, if you want to take the whole scene with between him versus Sydney, I think that whole scene is fantastic. Like, that third act is great. So,
you know what I realized? That when he was killing Jennifer, Jennifer was like, "Oh, you can't kill me. I'm the killer." So it made me stop for a second. Was like, was that in a script where Gail is one of the killers? Like, in one of the scripts that they had?
Maybe.
That would have been cool.
I think maybe that's true. Like, the script that she read, maybe she was the killer.
Maybe, yeah. That would have been cool.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I caught that line today. Yeah, Roman. The rest of the kills were kind of bland.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think. Well, yeah, they had to get, you know, toned down.
Yeah. The Stephen Stone was pretty good, too. Like, the way he was walking towards them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he falls. Like, hey, that's kind of cool.
That and, like, he made fun of Tatum.
He did?
Like, yeah, because because this dude is Ghostface pretending to be Dewey. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's why he got your little sister.
Oh,
and
yes.
And then that's why he goes, oh, that makes me very angry. And that's when he stabs him.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty, that's fucked. He deserved it.
Yup, he did.
Nobody slanders Tatum.
Right, exactly. In the nipples.
we missed the nipples.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so that's it, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's, yeah.
Let's go.
Next week, do we want to continue? Do we want to do the special thing?
I mean, I'm down to continue. If you're down.
Let's continue. I kind of want to continue. I'm too excited now. Cause it's like
just let me know. Four. So let's play it by ear. So it could be another episode.
What do you want next week,
Pepper? What do you want? Oh, I missed
Scream
her.
4. Yeah,
Scream 4. All right, Scream 4. It is.
Yeah.
Oh, hi,
ma'am.
Oh,
don't do that.
Stop the camera.
Let's talk about Scream 4. Yeah, I need to.
Yeah, I need to find the word streaming because
Netflix.
I have the 3-movie deal. Oh, it's on Netflix? Okay, perfect.
Netflix. And you know what's funny? They just put the 3 movies on Paramount Plus.
Okay, I looked that up and I went to Paramount Plus. It told me that it's not I have the Essential account, that I don't have another one. I was like,
we
what?
We just watched it on Paramount because they put them there last week.
Oh, that's weird then. I don't know.
But Scream 4 was on Netflix last time I checked, which was a week ago.
I'll check.
But yeah, you know how that happens really fast.
Yeah, I know. That fucking movie, bro. There's no love.
Well, it's funny because the fourth one is never with the other three. It's always somewhere else. And the original trilogy is always together. Yeah. It pisses me off too because I love 4. But it is what it is. So yeah, fuck it. Let's do 4. I want to talk about it. And then maybe after 4, we'll do the episode we were supposed to, or, you know, we were kind of planning on talking about. Maybe I can sit more with that. But, yeah, so next week, join us, y'all, for Scream 4, as we just planned to hear live for y'all.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so, and remember.
Stay spooky and stay sexy.
See you in your dreams. And don't forget to tell me what's your favorite horror movie.
Horror Daddies.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.